Philippians chapter 3 this morning is where we'll be. Philippians chapter 3. And once you get to Philippians chapter 3, we're beginning in verse 12. 12, 13, and 14 will be our text this morning. All right, verse 12, it says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. And I trust that as we open the scriptures this morning, you will speak to our hearts and help us all to understand the lesson that you have for us. And I pray that this would be a challenge to us and encouragement to us as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the areas of life that many people struggle with is the past. Their past sins, their past failures, their past mistakes, their past experiences, their past behavior. And in this passage that we just read, the Apostle Paul deals with how to handle our past using the example of his own life. And from this, we can learn some very important lessons. And this morning, as we look at the subject of the past, I want you to consider, first of all, the memories of the past. The memories of the past. Now, we all have these memories, but we don't all handle them the same way. But look what Paul says here. Look how Paul dealt with his past. In verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks of the past, and he writes, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, two things concerning forgetting. First, I'm amazed at how easily we can forget things that we don't want to forget. And secondly, I'm amazed at how difficult it is to forget things that we do want to forget. Apparently, some things are easy to forget and other things are not so easy. Let me ask you this question. Think about it. Do you know a person who lives in the past? I know a bunch of people like that. You try to talk to them about the present, but they only want to talk about things that took place decades ago. For example, some are constantly talking about a failed marriage that took place 15 or 20 years ago. They're still experiencing the anger and the hurt they had 15 or 20 years ago. They cannot let go of the past. And some are always talking about opportunities that they failed to take advantage of years ago. They're still beating themselves up because had they taken advantage of those opportunities, they would be rich today. And then some are always talking about a loved one who died many years ago, and they just can't seem to get over that grief. People who live in the past are always talking about something in the past as if it happened recently. But listen to me now. We only have one life to live. And if we only fill our lives with the past, there will be no room for the present. For example, there's a lady I knew who fell madly in love with a young man and married him. And they had a wonderful relationship for years. But one day, they got into a big quarrel and they broke up. Later on, he met another young lady and married her. Well, 50 years passed by, and he died, and she died, that first wife, she died, both in the same year. But that poor lady never got over that divorce and spent the next 50 years from her divorce to her death miserable, bitter, and mad at the world. It was sad. And many have had similar things happen to them. And I know it's a crushing thing when someone's heart is broken. I have no intention of making light of that this morning. But there comes a time that it's spilt milk and it's water under the bridge. And the person has to put those things behind him or behind her and go on. And let me just, this has nothing to do particularly with this subject, but let me just give a quick word of advice while we're thinking about this to those in this room who might be divorced and remarried. Some folks who have been divorced and remarried have gone into another marriage with a lot of baggage. And that is hard on any marriage. And I've seen over the years of dealing with people that the only way you can make the marriage work is to put as much of the past behind you as you can. Now, of course, there are some things that you can't put behind you, and I understand that. But the more of the baggage that you put behind you, the better chance your marriage will have of making it. I've seen it time and time and time again. Someone said, one problem with gazing too frequently into the past is that we may turn around and find the future has run out on us. And someone said, the past is a good place to visit, but we shouldn't want to live there. We should learn from the past, but we should not live there. It's kind of like the mother that I saw recently at the mall with her two teenage daughters. This lady apparently just cannot accept the fact that she's getting older. And she was dressed in the same, now you know how kids dress at the mall, right? She was dressed in the same kind of clothing her teenage daughters were wearing. It looked absolutely silly. Absolutely silly. And every time you see someone like that, you just want to go up to her and say, lady, you're too old to dress like that. You look ridiculous. You need to wake up and smell the coffee. But it's so sad that there are so many people today who are still living in the past. And what we have to do with the past is what Paul did. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We need to replace bad thoughts with good thoughts. And we need to replace bad memories with good memories. We should not live in the past. It's kind of like parents today who are still trying to be parents of their children as if their children are still small when their kids are now adults. They've never learned to cut the strings. There comes a time when we become parents in name only. And we have to cut the strings and let them live their lives. Now, that's not to say we no longer love them. And it's not to say that we don't like spending time with them. And it's certainly not that we don't want to offer advice along the way. but they're grown. Let them be adults. Let them be adults. And so we have to put the past behind us because that's what it is. It is behind us, behind us. And so we see Paul's perspective on memories of the past. He said, "For this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." That's his perspective on the memories of the past. But we also want to consider this morning the mistakes of the past. The mistake of the past. Now, we all have made mistakes along the way, mistakes that we regret. But I want you to think about two truths when it comes to the mistakes of the past. First of all, the past cannot be changed, right? What's done is done. I think of the story of the sin of David and Bathsheba. David's sin brought about some terrible things in his life. His child that he had with Bathsheba became very sick. And David fasted and prayed for God to spare the child. But God saw fit to take the child. Well, all of David's friends saw how he fasted and prayed, and they were absolutely shocked after the child died how quickly David got back into the routine of life. And he was asked about this. And this is what he said to them in 2 Samuel 12, 22 and 23. He said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." David could not undo the past. And David's sin brought the judgment of God upon him through the death of that child. But once the judgment was over, and once David's sin was confessed, it was time to get up and go on. Get up and go on. I wonder how many times have we all thought, if I could just live my life over again, knowing what I know now, I would live it differently. Very few, if any, would say, if I could live my life over again, I would live exactly the way I did the first time around. I don't want to change anything. I know I wouldn't say that. And I don't know any sensible person who would. Now, you know, if we were able to live our life in perfection, maybe we could say that. But none of us have done that. And none of us can do that. If I could live my life over, I'll be honest with you, there are some things I've said along the way that I would not say if I could live my life over again. There are some things I've done along the way that I would not do if I could live my life over again. You know what? If I could live my life over again, I would pay more attention in high school, because when I got to college, it was rough. And there are honestly things that I would not buy if I could live my life over again. And I could go on and on. If I could live my life over again, you know, how I would do it differently. And so, you know, if I could live my life over again, certainly I would not live in exactly the same way that I did previously. And I think any reasonable person would say that. If I could live my life over again, I wouldn't have listened to the advice of a so-called friend, or I would not have quit school, or I would have quit a certain job that I had, or I would not have bought a certain car that I bought. Everyone here, if we could live our life over again, knowing what we know now, would not make many of the same decisions we made years ago. But again, that is the past. And there's not a thing that can be done about the past other than bring it to Jesus and let him wash it in the blood and bring forgiveness to us. We've all made mistakes and have had to pay the price for making those mistakes. What has been done, and there are certain things that cannot change. But it is sad that we have people today who recognize they've made some bad decisions, but they continue down the same path. That is sad. Someone has said, smart is the fellow who, when he recognizes he's going down the wrong road, will stop and turn around. Amen to that. We can avoid some really bad future mistakes by doing that. But the truth is, once we make a mistake, the past cannot be changed. But not only can the past not be changed, here's the good news. The past can be constructive. The past can be constructed. You cannot change the past, but you can take the past and learn from it. The Apostle Paul is a great example of that. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, he writes this. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me." See, he knew his past. And he recognized all the harm he had done. And the mistakes that he made motivated him to work harder for the Lord. It's like a young lady that I know that had an abortion. And as the years went by, this decision almost drove her crazy. She deeply regretted the decision she had made to take the life of her child. But one thing she could do was to talk to other young girls and warn them not to make the same mistake she had made. Yes, she made a mistake that could not be changed, but she turned it into something constructive by using her experience to help warn some other young ladies not to go down the same path. That's a good thing to do when we make a mistake. Learn from it and get something constructive out of it. And so we have looked at the memories of the past and the mistakes of the past. But before we close and go into the communion service, I want us to look at one more thing, and that is the maturity of the past. And that's found here in verse 14, where Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The past gives us something to measure our successes by. That is, if we've made mistakes, we don't want to continue making those same mistakes. When we look at where we started and where the Lord has brought us as Christians, we should see a measure of maturity in the different areas of our life. Yes, we can see that we are not perfect and that we are not all that we should be, and we're not all that we can be, and certainly we're not all that we want to be. But praise the Lord that because of his grace and mercy, we are not what we used to be. We're different. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And while we see definite change, we know that there's always room for greater maturity and more changes in our life as well. That's what Paul is talking about back in verse 12. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." He's saying there's always room for growth in my life. And that's exactly why the Apostle Peter ends his second letter with these words, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, I'm glad that we have a specific time set aside as the beginning of a new year. And I pray that as we enter 2017, that we will determine, first of all, to make some necessary changes in our life as God reveals them to us in His Word, and not stop growing. I guess I could sum that point up by saying, don't give up. Don't give up. And then secondly, I pray that as we enter 2017, that we would determine to live in the present and look to the future as we grow daily in the Lord Jesus Christ and just keep going forward for Him. I guess I could summarize that by saying, don't back up. And then finally, I pray that as we enter 2017, that we would determine that we're going to spend time telling others about our precious Savior more than ever before. I guess I could sum that up by saying, don't shut up. So here's my challenge to you as we enter 2017. Real simple. Don't give up, don't back up, and don't shut up. Let's make this a great year for the glory and honor of our precious Savior. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the opportunity we've had to look into it. And I pray that everyone in this room would accept the challenge, that they would be open to making changes, and that they would continue to go forward for you, and that they would never be ashamed or afraid to open their mouths and put in a word for you.